thank you for tuning in to The Hub Show, presented by BDE Creative and Legit Media.
Coming up on March 24th and 25th, we have the 4-State Comic-Con coming to Hager Hall in Hagerstown, Maryland, 901 Dual Highway behind Barefoot Bernie's and Cancun Cantina. We have celebrity guests, 100 tables of vendor space with all the best comic books and pop culture, con cash cosplay contest, and more. For more information on how to get your advanced tickets, go to 4StateCon, F-O-U-R, StateCon.com.
Big shout out to Heather over there at the American Ale House. She's going through a situation right now. Everyone pretty much knows about what it is, but I want to tell her the Hub Show's got her back, and we're there to help support American Ale House.
Podcasting and broadcasting about everything and nothing. From the center of the universe, Hagerstown, Maryland, it's Hub City's own The Hub Show.
All right, welcome back to the Hub Show, Hub City, Hagerstown, center of the universe. We are back, Rant and Raven. Jay Heish is here. Shay Lewis is back.
Hello, hello, hello.
Chris Canfield's in the house.
Yep, you'll have to excuse my flightiness tonight. I poured gasoline on my pants.
Oh,
earlier today
at a gas station.
At a gas station.
Okay,
yeah, the pump just like. Well, have you ever had one of those vehicles when you're trying to pump it up and the thing just keeps clicking and clicking and clicking and clicking?
Yeah.
And you're trying to find the sweet spot and move it around and move it around and move it around. Well, I pulled it out a little bit too far, and then I hit the thing, and it went poosh all down the front of my pants. First thing this morning, smelled like gasoline all day long.
You're not a smoker, though, are you?
No, fortunately.
Yeah, right.
Thank God.
Come here with burnt pants.
Yeah. The inside of the truck is... Phew,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing those cracks.
So you've
right
been
now?
High
yeah.
all day.
No, I put the windows up, man. We're in Hub City. You can't have the windows down around here.
But like today, you were driving around the windows up, enjoying life?
Yeah.
Just about, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, Shay. All right, Winter Olympics.
We
kicked the Canadian
yes,
women's hockey
we
team
did.
Butt
so
in a
we
shootout.
Got, yes, we
that.
Did in the shootout.
Good.
It was awesome. I saw it live.
So
it was
proud.
Really... I was so excited. Yeah. I had tears in my eyes.
Them Canadian girls were hanging their heads in shame, man.
Well, one girl didn't even put on her silver medal. She just, like, took it off. Yeah. And she said...
Showing some attitude.
She showed a lot of attitude. And it took us 30 years to win that again.
I know.
30
and we beat
years.
Canadians, too. We That's like Canadians. Hockey night in Canada.
You know? That's
and
right.
the Russians.
Well, yes. 30-something years ago, yeah.
Yeah, so I was all excited about that. We came in fourth place with all the medals combined. You know,
okay.
Norway was number one.
Right.
Then you had Russia, you had the Netherlands, and I forgot.
All the places with snow.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think we did pretty good.
We took gold in curling, right? The Americans?
No we
who
did.
Who did we beat, though?
We
beat Sweden or something.
Yes, it
we
was
did
Sweden.
We did something.
We did, yeah, and I still can't get
Wait,
into
did we took a medal?
I heard the curlers
I think we
were
got
juicing.
Bronze.
Were the curlers juicing?
Silver?
Is that what I heard?
We got silver in curling.
Steve, you want to chime in?
You want to chime in, Steve? Go ahead.
It was gold?
It was the men's curling. You got to get that.
Oh,
and by the way,
men's.
I was going to ask you what your perfume was because I really like that cologne that you had on. Now I know it's gasoline. I could get that at Sheets.
What brand is that? What brand
yeah,
is that?
87, 87 octane. Yeah. Yeah. Does anybody ever go for the middle type of gas? Everyone either goes high test or low test. They never go for the one in the middle.
I do 89. Sometimes.
You do 89?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
I don't know. I was doing it when I couldn't afford the Supreme.
Yeah? So you're just like throwing money? You're just like throwing money at nothing?
That's what it is.
Yeah, right.
So wait, where were we at? What gas station?
Huh? Oh, I was at, where was I? A Shell station in Ashburn, Virginia.
So Steve,
there
you go.
I was just in Ashburn yesterday.
Yeah. He's wearing Shell.
Yeah. Awesome. Shell.
By Fabergé.
By Fabergé. But yeah, we did pretty good, I guess, in Olympics all the way around.
Yeah,
we got bronze and... in the figure skating for the couples.
There we go.
The two siblings, mm-hmm. Shabani's.
Shabani.
I can't pronounce
You can't
it.
Do the last names. And
no.
How did Kruger from Waynesboro do, or from Pennsylvania? How did he do?
He got silver.
He got silver, right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And I hats off to his family because
definitely.
They came from Waynesboro.
What did you say his name was?
Well,
Kruger.
Last name is Kruger. She had that messed up
John
last
Henry Kruger.
John Henry Kruger.
Yeah,
Remember
okay.
John
Henry
yeah.
was his. Yeah. Yeah.
I said Freddie.
Yeah, yeah, he was the guy who went up against the steam shovel.
Right.
And then the thing caved in. Or no, he died because he beat the steam shovel, but he got a statue. He got a statue too, that John Henry.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm sure maybe little John Henry, he might have a little mini statue in Waynesboro. Maybe.
Yeah.
You never know.
Right.
So we had like four Olympians, I believe, from Pennsylvania.
Nice.
So that was great. So
anyone from Maryland?
I didn't see. I don't know about that. But Lindsay Vonn, yeah. She got she got in a medal. She medaled, and she cried because it was her last Olympics. So I felt sorry for her, you know. Mm-hmm. But she'd been in it and she rocked it out. So
that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm excited.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to see the figure skating on ice in May in the Giant Center. So I'm excited.
Oh, awesome. Do you like figure skating?
Yes, I like figure skating. Cool.
Oh. Can you skate?
Oh. No.
Have you ever skated?
I tried.
You fell on your ass?
I fell many times. I'm not going to do it again.
Oh, really? It hurts, doesn't it?
It hurts.
Yeah.
I can't even do inline skating at the skating rink.
No?
I need four wheels.
Wait, we had a conversation about it a couple of shows ago, but the roller derby, you want to get into that, but you can't.
I wouldn't win.
Maybe just go out there, just run around on your bare feet. Just
yeah,
Chris, what was her name? The Shay Slay or something like that?
Yes, yeah, Shay the Slay.
Shay the Slayer.
You can't say that, man. Yeah. Can't, that cannot be your name.
Well, Shay I had to practice.
Huh?
I had to practice.
Well, no, well, that too, but this cannot be your name.
Okay, we have to figure out another one. Okay. Yeah.
All right. But Shay, you brought us a guest today?
Yes.
To the Hub Show?
Yes, I brought Lori Riston and Steve Riston of Valor Ministries. They're doing good things at Hagerstown.
All right. So. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. You're welcome. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
And that was Steve chiming in on Chris's cologne.
On my cologne, yeah. 87.
87 like Shell.
And that's why I'm dressed all fancy, you see. Yeah. I had to, normally I come in here straight from work, but.
Well, yeah, he does. You know,
yeah, I do. I have to come in here sawdust, straight up construction. Paint. Construction.
It's nuts.
Thing. Yeah, got the whole dust and, yeah. They have a hammer on my belt and everything, so I had to go home and change.
Like a little Tim Allen. So, Lori, Steve, you guys run Valor Ministries?
Yes.
How long have you been doing that?
10 years.
10 years? Here in Hagerstown?
Right.
Are you from Hagerstown?
No, I'm actually from Waynesboro.
Hey.
And I think I might have been around the same age as the fellow from Waynesboro's father.
Okay.
Yeah.
You so. Almost said the fellow from Waynesboro's father.
Yeah, right. I'm a little older than he is. But okay. Yeah, the father and I think we're around the same age.
Okay. Do you want to say what that is?
Oh, I don't remember his name. I just saw it on Facebook, but I'm getting so old I can't remember half the people I went to school with. I remember their faces, just not their names.
Hey, I was at the doctor's office the other day, and it took me like a full 2 minutes to figure out how old I was.
Oh, my goodness.
So there you go.
Took you a full 2 minutes?
Yeah, I had to I was filling out the form, right? Carry and then I got to the box where it said my age, and I stared at it for a minute, and I went, let me just skip over this. And I skipped over it, and I filled out my address and everything, and then I came back and I stared at that box again, and I was like, well, it's 2018, right? Let's see, 81.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I finally put in 37. My birthday was just last month. I have no idea.
Right. Happy birthday.
I have no idea.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you're a youngin', 81.
Yeah.
I graduated school in 82.
Right.
Oh. Steve, you want to chime in on that one?
I got nothing for you. I'm sorry, man. I rely on social media to tell me how old I am.
So, that's right.
Yeah, right.
Well, if it makes you feel like he's the youngest guy in the room. So.
Well, yeah. Now, my birthday is always on the worst day of the year. It's always like below freezing, and it's just that there's 3 foot of snow on the ground.
Oh, yeah, so, it was 9 degrees on your birthday.
Yeah. So it's always the coldest day of the year. So I never have birthday parties. Never did have a birthday party. And I like to just kind of ignore it. I don't want anybody to tell me happy birthday because I don't want to keep growing old.
My heart's breaking right now.
Yeah.
I know, right?
So I just try to breeze through the day as quiet as possible and then just treat it like another day. And then I forget how old I am.
Well, three more years, everybody.
Three.
You've been joining our club.
Yes, the 40 and up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, Lori, Valor Ministries, what's your nonprofit? Inspiring, empowering, transforming people from crisis to thrive.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, really, we're trying to help people that are typically at a loss for how to handle a crisis. They may have grown up in situations that keep them in this cycle year after year after year of things just not going their way.
Right.
And so what really drives a lot of the people through the door is a financial crisis. And typically that can affect a lot of other areas of their life.
Big domino effect.
Yeah, it's a big domino effect. But it's not just a financial crisis. We have people coming in because they're homeless, or maybe they're new to town and they're looking for a place to live, or divorce, problems with their children, addictions.
Name it, right?
Yeah, you name it.
It's come through your doors.
Mm-hmm, they come through the door looking for some kind of assistance.
So you've been doing this about 10 years now?
Yeah, 10 years. We started actually in my house.
Oh, really?
It was a Bible study with some women that I went to church with, and they asked me if I would do a Bible study in the home. I said yes, And the first month that we had them there, there was like 8 women that showed up. And then the next month, there was like 16. And the following month, there was like 32. And then I looked at Steven and I said, would you help us set up something outside?
Outside the living room?
Yeah, like because we outgrew this living room. And he said, sure. And I said, well, would you put up a tent? Would you put up some lights? You know, we got there's just too many. So about 55 people came that first night or that fourth time we had it, excuse me. And we just knew something was happening. So we just started thinking about how we could help people that were looking for answers. And it kind of snowballed into where we are today. We help about 750 clients a year, impacting roughly, I'd say, 1,700 county residents each year.
Wow. So you're all over the county.
All over the county. Just this county for now, but looking forward, it is our plan to branch out into other areas. We'd really like to go up in Franklin County. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a need. In fact, some officials from Franklin County have contacted us about possibly bringing that up there. And then also Berkeley County. There's a need in Berkeley County as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. So you're going to need a team of people.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to have to clone yourself or something here. Yeah. Eventually.
Yes.
So you got way too many people going on, right?
Yeah. Where's your background on this?
Well, it's kind of weird. I was I was a sales manager for an oil company for a lot of years, and I went through a lot of hard times in my own life. And I was at, I guess you could say, just at the end of realizing that money wasn't everything. I made a six-figure income. I just felt called to go into either ministry or some sort of community service.
Right.
Steven and I spent some time in prayer, and one day we kind of looked at each other and just said, yeah, it's time.
This is the route you want to go.
It's the route I want to go. And so I quit my job, and within about a month, Hurricane Katrina hit. And my church was asking people to go down and help with the hurricane relief efforts. And so I volunteered, went down with Samaritan's Purse, spent a week doing mud outs and other type of repair work. And then the next time I went down, I went with the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. And that's when I started getting to go out with some chaplains and talk with the people one-on-one. And I really heard a lot of great stories about overcoming personal hardship. And that is really when I started recognizing that there are storms of life wherever you go, not just the real wind and rain storms that they experience, but, you know, relationship storms, health storms, financial storms, addiction storms, anything that can be just as devastating.
And kick your
butt. It's very real. It's very real. But the same principles of restoration that we use down there to help people, helping them to understand really that God can help you through any anything that's difficult, and he can restore what's been destroyed. It's the same thing that we're doing back here.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of how it started for me, just taking a leap of faith. And that's kind of been everything we've ever done up there has all been done in a leap of faith.
So what do you think that the people in Washington County need to know about Valor Ministries and how, in, you know, how much Valor Ministries can be an impact in the Marylanders around here?
I think first and foremost, they need to realize we're here because I think the word is getting out. We've done a very good job in the last 4 years really letting the community know we're here, but then also educating them more about what we have to offer. Because again, many people come through word of mouth or through referrals. Right now, our top referring agency is Community Action Council, followed by REACH, Department of Social Services, and others. And so they come there expecting help financially. But when they come in and they meet with an intake worker and realize there's a lot of underlying issues going on that are keeping them stuck year after year in these same situations, we're able to tell them about some of the other programs that we offer that can help them overcome. And those actually are more long-term. And so they have to be willing to participate in finding solutions. And that requires time and effort. And sometimes people don't want to do that.
That's the problem, right?
Yeah.
The problem is getting people to realize that they can overcome.
Yeah, just provide hope. And I think sometimes...
I mean, everybody goes through bad stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
And all the time.
People die.
People die, you go broke, whatever.
Right.
And that little light goes out, and then you have to start at the bottom and work your way up again.
You do.
And nobody ever wants to start again.
I think
they just wallow in it.
I think they're more apt to start if they hear a story of somebody who overcame it themselves that's there, and they hear a story of how they were able to get through it. And that kind of motivates them. I don't know about you, if you've experienced that or not, but when you share a story about how you overcame it, kind of like a light bulb goes off, and they're like, wait a minute, maybe this will work for me.
People need to feel like they're not alone in their situation. Right. Other people have been there, they've overcome it. They need to hear and see that.
Yes.
You know.
And they and they literally, you can see it on their face. They start thinking, well, maybe I can overcome this too. And you also, you have to just give them not just hope, But you have to let them know that they're no different than anyone else, and that they are, I'm not saying capable, but they really deserve a better life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to keep having these chaotic, drama-filled, stressful lives. They weren't made for that.
Right.
We want to encourage them and let them know that they were really made to thrive, not to mm-hmm. live in crisis, to thrive.
Right. Well, and what I think, what I like about Valor Ministries is we all have this thing that people don't understand is life skill training.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you have these classes that you offer, and they're free.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of people in Hagerstown don't know about the free classes that you all offer to get them educated, get them grounded, get them to help them thrive. And you have mentoring also. So mm-hmm. can you speak to some of the classes? And
yeah, the classes I like because while there are some skills that, you know, an employer might find useful, there's a lot of soft skills there as well. So we tell people all the time, we're very good at helping people get a job, but helping them keep it is right. another thing. We partner with Goodwill, Horizon Goodwill here in town, and they can get people a job. But if they don't have the skills to keep it,
right.
they're going
to
be...
don't want to keep it.
Yeah.
Right. But it's two different things.
Two yeah. different things. You're right.
yeah.
yeah, exactly.
You can acquire any skill that you want to acquire if you want to acquire that skill.
See, Lori, my hat
people
is
just
off.
Don't, people just yeah. don't care.
My hat is off to you and others who do the work you do. To you as well, Shay, because I don't, one, don't have the patience for people. It takes a lot of patience to do what you do.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Because like to what Chris is saying, there are people out there who need the help.
Right.
And there's people who you give the help to, but then they don't follow up on it. And at some point, you got to push them on their own feet to go off on themselves and yeah. stand up on their own 2 feet, and they don't want
to
do it.
Yeah, and I'm a guy that's very quick to like offer somebody help, and then if they don't take it, I just blow them off and walk away. I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm done with that.
I mean, it's like
I gave you the chance, and you didn't.
That's what
take
I mean.
It.
The people like yourself who run your organizations and Shay, I mean, my hat is off to you.
Thank
a lot
you.
Of respect. Because I don't have the patience for it. I just don't.
Well, I'll tell you what has helped me. I was a very, like I said, very successful salesperson for mm-hmm. about 20 years.
Right.
And one of the biggest lessons I learned early in that sales career was today's no is tomorrow's yes.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that comes through those doors, they may not want to do what they need to do in order to be successful then and there.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets bad enough, they're going to remember what you offered and they may say yes then. So
right.
I always say today's no is tomorrow's yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they want to walk away from the answer, that's on them.
Right.
But if you just stay in contact with them,
I
you know,
understand.
Following up.
You're the bridge.
yeah.
I understand. I get
yeah.
that. I understand that. That's what I'm saying. My hat is off because like Chris, at some point I'll say to somebody, hey, I tried, you know, I
yeah.
got to move on. You got to go figure it out.
Right.
That's yeah. And that's what you have to do. You just have to say.
And trying to convince somebody that delayed gratification
right.
is where it's at. Like you're going to have to try today
right.
and then you'll get paid a couple weeks from now. But
right.
you have to
show
you
me.
Have to start now.
Yeah. But, so like, I mean, with Valor Ministries, you work with low income
yes.
homeless, ex-offenders, which there's plenty of around here,
mm-hmm.
Within Washington County to tell that help them become self-sufficient, which is what we're saying
right.
here. Not to go on this kind of tangent, but how many people do you see come back a lot?
Well, I always tell people when I'm talking to them, statistic-wise, because
yeah.
I write a lot of grants and I do a lot of presentations, about 50% of the people that come through our doors
mm-hmm.
will not return after their first visit.
Really?
About 50%.
Because
they
you
don't
help
want
them, or because it goes either way, right?
No, it's because we require them to come to these Earn While You Learn classes
yeah.
in order to receive up to $200
sure.
in aid. They don't even want to take the classes.
They don't want to do the work.
They don't want to do the work.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And yet you're still there strong offering it, and I respect that.
So our point in doing that
right.
is that if we just gave it to you, you wouldn't
no
have
incentive.
Any self-worth in that.
Right.
You have no value for it.
Yeah.
But if you come to the classes and you attend those things, then we're not giving it to you. You've earned it. And there's some self-worth in
sure.
that. And there's value in that.
Absolutely. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, a lot of them don't show up to it.
But mm-hmm. the hurdle is, the break is that
mm-hmm.
they have, people may have been conditioned or brought up that, you know, if I'm not going to give it to them, then they don't want it and they're going to leave. It's, you know,
mm-hmm.
I can go find somebody else who'll give it to me for nothing.
Right.
And give me what I want, and they'll just make the circuit around town until they find what they're looking for.
Wow. That,
yeah.
And they
that's
are
so
here,
unfortunate.
Right?
So where do you guys get your resources from, like, for helping people?
I was going to hit you up afterwards.
Oh, you're going to hit me up?
People like you, Chris.
Really, yeah. Literally.
I mean, you could afford all that expensive cologne, so yeah, right. I know. $2.55 an ounce. I want
right.
We used to get a lot of our funding through grants as well as, you know, individual donors, businesses, corporations, things like that. But now it's kind of shifted. We're relying less heavily on the grants. Not that they're not important, but sometimes those grants come with some strings. Right. We found out one of which through HUD, you know, of course, who doesn't want to be able to take state or federal money, of course. But when it costs you more to implement what they're asking you to do than you're bringing in, it doesn't work. So we're not relying on some of those strings attached type grants. Now, we had to then start ramping up ways to get more individual donors mm-hmm. or people that are buying into our mission. And that's a little harder. But that's going to sustain us longer, because when people buy into something, they're more willing to continue that on a year-to-year basis. And we're not just asking for maybe a one-time commitment. We are asking some people to give up to 5 years, because, again, change takes time, and people don't change overnight. They don't get in their situations overnight. They're not going to get out of them overnight. So we have to have a little time to work with them for those that are willing. Mm-hmm. And there are some that are willing, and some more than others. I mean, I said about half won't even come to the classes. Out of the ones that come to the classes, maybe only a half of them are even willing to do more long-term casework or long-term mentoring, one which deals with physical needs, roof over your head, food in your belly, clothes on your back, and then emotional and spiritual needs for your mentoring. And so maybe only 20% had come through our door even ever going to want to do something like that. But if they don't want to do it today, when it gets bad enough, I guarantee you they're going to remember one day they heard about an answer at Valor, and they're going to give us a call. It's just a matter of when and where.
Right. You're like a local Tony Robbins.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah.
And I learned that from Floyd Wickman, who was called the Sweat Hogs back in the day. But it's so true. It's so true. When, you know, when I was in sales and I would make calls, I would go to people and they'd say no. And then I'd follow up every 3 months, every 6 months, every 1 year.
Right.
And every single time I'd hear a person call, you know, I was just going to call you. So-and-so, my distributor made me so mad, and I'm going to sign up with you. It's the same with people. One day what they're putting their hope in or their faith in is going to fail them.
Just patience.
And exactly. Yeah. And they're going to want what we have. But it takes work.
Right.
And we have to help them.
I think one of the things is that we were asked one time, the return on investment, because they're looking at how much you contribute. And if it's only that few of people that actually make a success,
right,
you know, what's the point? And my response was, if it were your son, how much would you have invested? You know, if it were your daughter that has now, that has lost contact with you, came to us, was able to go through the process and do all the things to be self-sufficient, how much would you value that? That's a key thing. And I think sometimes we look at numbers and want to put the chart on the wall and say, well, it's not a real return, but a human being has got greater value than that chart will ever have.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you do look at it in terms of economic stability for the county, in 1 year alone, we helped 150 residents either maintain or establish permanent housing. And I don't know if you are from around here all your life, but a few years ago there was an article about the Dagmar closing down. And there was going to be 150 people out on the street. The whole city was in panic over that. You just can't put 150 people on the street. Well, I did a lot of research for my grants, and according to HUD, it costs about $40,000 a year to provide services for just one homeless person. So what we calculated, even if we helped them at 6 months, and at 20,000 instead of 40, we saved the county $1.44 million in 1 year alone. And, you know, that doesn't just affect county government officials or you know, people that work for the county. We're talking everybody that lives in here is affected by that, because that money has to be...
It's to come from someplace.
It has to come from someplace. Yeah. Somebody's going to be paying for those services, even if it's Meritus or the jails or mental health facilities.
And even if the county's still taking it out of us, the overflow is going into roads and, you know, building.
And we may be a small little organization, but that's not small potatoes.
No, but you're in a small town. Like I come from Los Angeles and whatnot. With, you know, the bigger cities, the problems are bigger, obviously. The population's bigger. You know, Washington County, I spent a year living in Frederick before I moved to Hagerstown. My wife's job is here, so here we are. You know, when we told people we were moving this direction to Hagerstown, they were like, gave us the face, distinct face, you know? I've heard all about the reputation of this place being obviously with the prisons, people tend to move here along with whoever is in jail, and then they get out and they're stuck around this area and there's riffraff and this and that, which it just seems like, I hate to use this word, but this place seems very downtrodden. That's the word I want to use. I mean, I know there are problems and people in need everywhere around this country, everywhere around the world, of course. I'm not trying to paint with this big broad brush, but I mean, have you seen a difference since you started Valor like 10 years ago? What's the difference you've seen around here? You've made a difference, obviously, but I mean, have you seen the difference of the people coming in?
I'm not trying to be pessimist, right. Pessimistic or anything.
Me either,
but I think it's getting worse.
It's getting worse.
I think whatever's going on is getting worse here. Now, do I think it has to stay that way, or will it stay that way? No, because I think there's organizations like Valor and others that are doing all they can to try to make a difference. But there's a mindset here in this county that's been going on for generations.
Decades now, right?
You know, you can put that all the way back to the founding fathers. Well, I shouldn't maybe say founding fathers, but, you know, the first settlers here in this area. There were big squabbles over breweries and distilleries. They killed each other over that. Then they went on to slavery. There was big fights over that.
About that.
Oh, my right. goodness. And, I mean, Hagerstown itself switched hands over 60 times within the whole Civil War. It was brother against brother at all times. There was a lot of infighting here. A lot of division. Then you have Jonathan Street, which I did some research about Jonathan Street and right. how these people were not even allowed to leave the street without right. permission. So that there's this mindset here, this captive mindset.
In 2018.
Yeah, it's still here. And it's got to get worse, I guess, before it gets better. But maybe it'll cause people to take notice and do something.
Do you think that it's because we're not looking at the right things? I mean, we only go after what we know. So if we think, well, this is the problem, but the way to solve it is by doing this over here, or changing how we rent houses or what we do in this area, versus addressing the real concerns. Do you think as a county, and I'm putting you on the spot here, but do you think as a county that we're actually focusing on the right things?
Well, if you're asking me, I'd have to say no, because as a Christian, I believe unless you bring the Lord into it, Jesus Christ is the answer. And if you're not willing to admit that, there's never going to be real change. It's not going to be long-lasting change. And I'm not trying to sway anybody listening to my way of thinking. I just know what works. I know what worked in my life. I know how he can change lives. He can change hearts. He can do miraculous things. Mm-hmm. And unless we're willing to grasp that and maybe accept that and be open to it, I don't know how it's going to change.
I hear you about being pragmatic.
Yes.
You know that not everyone's going to embrace that.
I'm sorry?
You know that not everyone's going to embrace
yes.
that. And you got to go to, like he's saying, I mean, To answer your own question, Steve, what do you think it is? I mean, we're doing something wrong here.
I think that's it.
Yeah,
well,
that's my thought.
I think that mm-hmm. within this town and this county,
right.
we are so isolated from each other. We're so caught up in our own little areas, our own little clubs, our own little things, the way we want to do it, that we don't. When we see someone else doing something, we don't think, oh, they can't be doing it. You know, I do it better than they do. There's this thing that goes on, and it's like competition, or just I don't know what the right word I want to use for it is, but we're not coming together.
No, I mean, everything that happens in the town, I noticed through social media, everything gets crapped on. We've talked about it on the show
it's
time
like craps
again.
In a pot. You're just pulling each other down.
We have a new politician in here, a new councilwoman, Shelly McIntyre. She was 3 weeks into it. She was already getting, you know, crapped all over on Facebook and whatnot. She hadn't even got started yet, but this. I sense that's what I mean. It's so downtrodden. Everyone around here is negative.
Mm-hmm. You know, on Facebook, and I won't tell you the site. You know what's happening in Hagerstown, but
oh, that one,
yeah,
they get plus.
They get that's a plug. I get money for that. But you know, I see people get on there and they're talking about the homeless, and yep. then they start. Well, I've seen this guy on this corner here, this corner here, this corner here, and now he's up in Chambersburg and stuff, and they're just going on, and then it starts slandering more right. and more and more, and I'm like, could you say one thing positive?
Yeah. Or what about all the homeless men in Baltimore and D.C.? There's probably 1,000 times more than there are here.
No, I'm sure there is.
They're everywhere. So why are you going to pick out one and make it a point?
Is it a mindset like, oh, I have to come up with a reason why I don't want to help that person?
Yeah.
If I could make him into a villain, I don't have to help him.
It's all an excuse.
But, Steve, can I be the devil's advocate here?
Ooh.
No. Hang on, because I understand what you're saying. And I have a heart. Everyone has a heart. I see young-looking dudes. Obviously, they got their arms are working, their legs are working. They're standing up at the corner of Walmart or wherever in here in Hagerstown with the sign saying, you know, please help me. I'm hungry or something like that. And they're you know, they're taking donations from people pulling up, which is nice. But in my eyes, I see a young guy who's not in a wheelchair bound. He's healthy. I don't get it. Yeah. I mean, what's stopping you from going to get a job? What's stopping you? What's holding you? Okay, and you're going to answer me. I mean, everyone's got their own problems, their own things in life. But I see that, I'm like, wait, you know.
I hear you. Yeah. And between the two of us sitting here, I'm with you. It frustrates me. I'm like,
frustrating.
You know, especially if I see you and you say, oh, I can't work, but you're driving around in your car going all over the place. I'm thinking, can you be an Uber driver? I mean, do something.
Yeah, I was at the gas station the other day. Not this gas station, but another one.
Okay.
I was at another gas station the other day, and this kid came up to me, and he just started begging for money. He was like, yeah. Oh, my girlfriend's pregnant. We're living out of our car. Can you give us $10? And
I've
was like,
that around here
and,
before,
yeah,
too.
And I was like, well, first off, I mean, I own a house and I don't have a girlfriend, so I don't know how you lured this woman into your car and got her pregnant in the first place.
You know what?
So, and I can't land a woman, and I own a house, and I own a couple cars, and we could sleep in an actual bed each night.
Ladies. Steven, it's funny, but there's some reality to what Chris
right?
is saying.
So, I told the guy this. I was like, well, I said, you got yourself a pregnant woman. I don't have any of that. So, no, I'm not giving you $10.
But see, here's the problem. You are a nice-looking man, okay? And you smell great. You. And you, you know, and see, women don't like that. They like the bad guys.
Right.
They like the bad boys.
Yeah, no.
You need to get rid of that jacket.
The problem with women that I find in the area are that they're too proud or something. There's nobody's focusing on anything that has to do with family structure anymore. All the younger generation, they like, these girls are going out and getting knocked up and they don't even know who the father is. And they're like, I'm going to go ahead and raise it myself. And I don't need a man to help me. No, you need two people to raise a child. You have to, otherwise you're going to end up with school shootings. You need two people to raise a child.
As we were talking about before we came on the air.
I heard somebody say one time that you can fly an airplane with one engine, but would you get on the fucking airplane? Yeah. You wouldn't get on the airplane.
You have to have two.
It has to have two.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a Cessna, I would.
Yes. Yeah. Right. But Steve, we were talking about this, about the Parkland shooting in Florida, right? Just 2 weeks ago. And this is the great debate over gun control and this and that and that and this. But as we said today, as they dig into these school shooters and what goes on, you find out these get mostly
100%, boys. 100% of the shooters did not have an active father in their life.
That's right. It's something to be said.
What I think about is when a family gets in crisis, we're not looking at just low income. You're thinking about people who are in crisis because they don't have family structure. That's crisis.
Yeah,
to
you
me.
You don't need money to be a good father.
That's exactly right.
I know that, and I know that.
But they don't. But I think that the misconception is that some men think that they need to have so many things done in life. And I can give you an example for my own father.
Keeping up with the Joneses, right?
My own father, because he wasn't active in my life, but when we got together when I was older and we talked, he said that I wanted to be this big musical star so that I could take care of you. And I said, well, you could have did that on your part-time, but as a part-time job, but what about the full-time? Like, I needed you there. Yeah. I needed you to be in my life and I need you to do some things and, you know, to be there for me. And he said, well, I felt like I was a failure as a person. So being that he felt like failure as a person, he felt like he would fail at everything. And I think that's the misconceptions that some men may have. I'm not saying all, because I just know about my one, my dad. And people in his generation probably felt that they were not equipped, you know, because they weren't equipped themselves mentally, emotionally for themselves.
He didn't want to give up on his dream.
The sacrifice, and he, you know, and although he grew up in a two-parent home, he was a preacher's kid. Mm-hmm. So he and my mom are both preacher's kids. So it was funny to see that my dad, you know, it was just ironic that my dad really praised his father for being a father and his mother for being a mother and being a two-parent home. And I'm like, well, what happened to you? You know, what happened? You know, right. and a lot of thing was he didn't have God in his life anymore either. He became a Muslim and got into drugs. You know, drug played a lot of against my father because he was a crackhead. And so those things you have when you feel like a failure, and you know, within yourself, and you don't get yourself right, you just really can't be there for anybody else. I really understand that. Mm-hmm. And so we need to make sure that people understand how to, you know, feel valued. And that you, it's not money. You don't have to have money. Just spend. I think a lot of kids, well, and I was one of those kids, I didn't care if my dad bought me anything, but if he just spent some time with me and, you know, just show up.
Yeah, be together.
And be a present. And be present.
Yeah.
We would appreciate that, the kids that didn't grow up with the father. We would appreciate that. You know, my grandfather was a good fill-in as much as he could. But, you know, I would appreciate just my dad just showing up. I mean, I remember sitting by my sister and I sitting by the window waiting on him to come. And he never showed because he said he was coming.
Right.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
But he didn't do it. And so those are long-lasting. Like, I have issues with abandonment since, you know, with any man. You know, then that spilled over to my marriage and everything like that. So you just, if guys who are listening or mothers who do the same things, I've seen mothers who abandon their children too.
Or Shay's husband.
you just got to understand that abandonment becomes an issue and you just need to realize what you do. And so, you know, I would advise you to do, get some self-help, do some self-care and go and get the work. You know, it's a lot of work to do. And I think that when you get with these outreaches like Valor Ministries and those, do the work. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to, you know, there's some accountability with that. Mm-hmm. But you just got to do the work. And I think that will help Washington County. Because I see a lot of young men and young women who do not take care of their children.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And or they use it for show, for the checks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, and I'm not saying all, I say, but I've seen it. Mm-hmm. And then when they get the check, then the kid get the nuggets and they get the big part of, they get the, you know, they get the hair done or they go buy this and buy that. They buy your steaks.
Oh, yeah. You can see it when you go really grocery shopping, you see the person whipping out the WIC checks and the food stamp checks, but yet they got a cart full of sodas and everything else that they shouldn't even be,
trying to wiggle the system and find out how they can get cigarettes with the WIC card.
So that's my thing. It's, you know, I think that you need to, you have to be invested in yourself and in your family, and you need to take classes like the Earn While You Learn classes, because if you don't invest in, I think Warren Buffett says, you know, the best thing you can do in life is invest in yourself. There's no value that they can equate in this world's fund monetary value to say that you're, what you put in your head, you know, you just really have to invest in yourself.
Still working on it.
When I'm talking about those Earn While You Learn classes, I think one of the classes that Lori told me about, she came home very excited and she goes, you're not going to believe this, but the crafting for a cause. Now you think, okay, crafting. And so what they're doing, they're making little bracelets and
toys
and different things. And she said, you know who really likes those classes and comes to them?
Who's that?
I don't remember.
the ex-offenders.
Oh, that's right.
They, you know, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
They came in and she says they love it. And they come in there and they are making little pencil and pocket protectors and put in these Operation Christian Child.
It's really funny to see them make the Barbies.
Oh, yeah.
Make the Barbies?
Well, they take off. They
Wait
they make
a minute. You're going to edit that out.
They just make them pretty again.
Okay. Oh, really? They do the hair and
they do the hair.
Oh, yeah. They dress them.
They dress them. Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah. Wow. So there's something there. If you check us out, you'll find something on there that on the
you should
list.
Put that on video. That'd be interesting to watch.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's more while they're crafting, they're sitting around talking, almost kind of like a little mini support group.
Circle.
Yeah, almost like art therapy. Even though we don't have a therapist there on staff, but it really is. They're getting a little
therapy.
Bit of Barbie therapy. Yeah. That's a really popular class. I forgot about that. But
how many people show up in that class?
Sometimes we'll have 6 or 7.
Really?
But what's popular about it is they keep coming back week after week after week. And so sometimes we'll see somebody that'll come into a class and that's it. They'll just come to one class or they'll come to the 6 and then you never see them again. Mm. These people keep coming back.
And I think so years ago when we started out, we were doing a thing called Friday Night Connect.
Okay.
So one Friday night a month, we would meet and we'd have a night for people to connect because we're all going through some things. And so one of the things is to connect with other people who either are going through it, gone through it, or heading into it. Mm-hmm. And so we finally had to abandon that just because I think some people thought it was like a dating service, so we had to cut that out.
Oh, see, Chris, you didn't even know about it.
Chris, you would have been popular. But so we stopped doing
that. What's that smell?
Success, ladies.
That's right. Yeah.
Octane.
Yeah.
I'm high octane.
Yeah.
I'm kind of lightheaded here. Got to move away from them. But so the other thing is that coming to these classes, you are going to be not just learning something from someone who wants to share something with you, but you're going to connect with other people. Because how many times in the classes have the people been sitting across from each other, all of a sudden the class will pretty much stop and it becomes about
helping that person.
Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing thing to watch how that happens time and time and time again.
Right. So Valor Ministries, how do people reach you? Anyone's listening to this?
Well, they can call.
They can call. What's the number to call?
240-329-9387.
Mm-hmm. And you have a website?
Yes, we do.
ValorMinistries.com?
No.
No.
TheValorCenter.org.
Ah, TheValorCenter.org.
Org.
I figured.
Right. It's an org.
I got non-profit. You. You guys are located where?
223 North Prospect Street, which is the Westview Business Center. Used to be the old Goodwill.
Right here in Hagerstown.
Right here in Hagerstown. We're on several of the floors there, but our main office is in the fourth floor.
Okay.
All right.
403. Yes, 403.
I'm getting
tongue-tied there.
436. Yeah, okay. There's a lot of them.
Right here in Hagerstown.
Right here in Hagerstown.
And I'm going to plug Encounter City Park because what we do is we're continuing the tradition of Christian music in the park at the Hagerstown Band Jail right here down. Every Wednesday night starting June 6th all the way through August, there's free music there, and it starts at 7 o'clock to 8:30. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to meet people. And to listen to music.
There you go.
I expect to see Chris there on June 6th. I'll save you a seat. Actually, the music is we do have bluegrass, we have gospel, we have rock. We don't have a goth group yet, but I'm looking for one. So if you're interested,
just keep them off. off the roster. It's
Chris. So
come on,
you get too much testosterone in there.
Yeah.
Do you have too much competition? That's what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to thin the herd.
More gasoline.
That's right. Survival of the fittest.
All right. It's funny because we're going to take a break. When I come back, though, I want to dive in a little more what you brought up about Hagerstown, the history, and the way it's kind of trickled down to all the generations. And it's a big mess to clean up, right?
It sure is.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll be right back with the Hub Show.
Trade show displays, step and repeat backdrops, pull-up banner stands, table throws, all your large printing needs. ExpoNetUSA.com, 301-378-9363. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Hey, this is AJ.
And this is Ben with Small Town Mentality Podcast. You can check us out on all social media platforms at Small Town Mentality Podcast. So get on there, click like, and follow us.
And help us out by subscribing to Small Town Mentality Podcast on the places you get your podcasts. Podcasts? What, you don't have a place to check out podcasts? Well, try TuneIn or Stitcher. We're also on iTunes and Google Play.
Come check us out. We're funny.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I'm funny.
We're going to leave this in.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
So we are back, and we're just talking about, once again, homeless people.
And jogging people with IBS.
That's where you believe it comes from?
Yeah.
Defecation
in the streets. Comes from people running down the street, and they got to take a crap.
Just do what they got to do, right?
Yeah, diarrhea.
you were asking me on the break. I'm in Los Angeles, and there's always been homeless there. There's been Skid Row downtown Los Angeles, but I've been gone now for almost 5 years, and I lived in the San Fernando Valley, the Hollywood area, all that good stuff, Reseda, Northridge. And my friends who were still there are like, it's gotten like 1,000 times worse. Like homeless encampments all under the freeway, underpasses, everywhere you go. And they're
going to create their own economy.
Right. But we're talking about
what if they come up with a currency?
Right. But we're talking about not everyone who's homeless is, the overall perception of everything is, but some of these guys have just lost their minds.
They're like like the guy I saw in Oakland, California. He was he was a mad scientist. He was like he's a genius, but he lost it.
He just went nuts,
and he's happy Being free.
But smart guy.
But smart
That's
guy.
That's it. I mean, there's some freedom to being homeless. That doesn't sound
he's
right.
Like, he's like that guy in Demolition Man who lived underneath the ground.
Right.
Hey, some people do. The New York subways and the old tunnels aren't being used. Yeah. I mean, the homeless.
When the Teenage Ninja Turtles are there. Out of town.
No turtles, man. Maybe some alligators, though.
Yeah, right.
They have tent communities. I know we have one here in Hagerstown, but I know they have like a lot of places. And from Dallas, Texas, we have a lot of homeless. You know, some of my relatives was living under the bridge. We call it, going under the bridge. Mm-hmm. They lived under the bridge. It's a big community of them just living under the bridge. And unfortunately, some of my family members was dealing with alcoholism and crack addictions and stuff like that.
Though, I've had a situation in my family where there's a relative who, we've had to kick him out like beyond strike mm-hmm. three, because he turns to all that crap. And next thing you know, I'm missing stuff and stuff is being sold and blah, blah, blah. All the bad things are going to happen. And we finally had to give him the boot. And he's been in and out of jail and whatnot, And he's finally got his, on his feet because of us. We're still there to support him. But I can understand where some people just really burn the bridges with the families.
Right.
I mean, how long are they going to put up with that stuff? I mean, I'm individualist. Everyone's got their reasons for their circumstances, where they are in life, the decisions they made and this and that. So, I'm careful to sit there and, again, paint the broad brush with homeless people. But like you said, we don't know where they're coming from.
No, you don't. Some of them people are just like being the freedom of it all.
Some of them want to be. They want to be homeless. They like the freedom of it. They aren't really stuck to paying taxes and.
And maybe they know the secret. They know something we don't.
I don't know.
Never know. I know that we have a tent community here in Hagerstown.
We do?
We do?
Yeah.
I think we have several.
Where?
They're in tents?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are they? There's like large groups?
I wouldn't say large, but they do congregate in groups, yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're out of sight.
Yes.
Really?
And I think some people have gone out there and taken their cameras with them, which, I think is just...
A little intrusive, huh?
I don't want anybody coming to my front yard and taking pictures of my house. So I respect their privacy, and wherever they are, if they're safe and that's where they want to be, then I'm just going to leave them alone. But we are going to help them
as much as we can. Right, give them the service that you offer. You've reached out.
Exactly. Right? Okay. They value their privacy as well as anyone else.
Yeah, I would imagine if I was in that position or if I put myself in that position, I might get offended if somebody wanted to come and help me and tell me that I should live like them.
Is there a double-edged sword to all this? Do you know what I mean?
If I chose to live in a tent out in the woods and you kept coming out and knocking on the door and saying, hey, let me get you some housing and let me get you some food.
Do you ever get that kind of pushback?
And then you'd be like, well, hey, I chose this life. What do you... don't come out here knocking on my tent.
I was going to say, do you remember the guy that we used to help without saying his name?
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. So there was a gentleman we would help, and I would take him to get kerosene for his heater. And he did not want me to know where he lived. Now, and I've been investing in him, having a conversation with him, building a relationship with him, but he did not want anyone to know where he lived. And so I would drop him off at different places, and he would walk because he didn't want anybody. And I learned from that. If he cared so much about his privacy, because wherever he was, if they found out, they would kick him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd have to go find somewhere else to go.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I like what you said, because we've had a conversation, and sometimes people think that what they have to offer is the help that person needs.
Right.
Because it's coming from my
perspective,
my culture.
Yeah.
My perspective. Yeah.
Right. What I value.
Right.
And what if I were to tell you that's not what they need?
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel about that? Because now you're saying, oh, you're rejecting me. As a person who's trying to help. No, I'm saying you cannot go to everyone and say, this is exactly what...
This is the answer.
This is the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're trying to give up material things. And you're trying to give them material things.
Some people don't need cars. They don't need a big house. I used to kid Lori that she raised her kids so well that they don't need a lot. I would try to, you want a candy bar? No. They didn't even eat sugar. I'm telling you, it was the craziest thing in the world. And I said, it's your own
Rotten
fault.
Todd.
Yeah.
I didn't eat sugar either, but that's because I didn't eat sugar either, but that's because I ate like an entire like skid of fruit roll-ups and threw them up when I was young, and then just
that
never
taught you a lesson.
And then I just never
you
touched sugar
the whole
again.
Pack, basically.
Yeah,
right?
I just never touched sugar again.
Really? You have a thing about sugar now?
Fruit roll-ups. Yeah, I don't eat. I've never eaten a candy bar. Little known fact.
What?
Yeah, I've never eaten a candy bar. Not a legit candy bar. Like
what's
not like
illegit
a real
candy bar.
Well, I eat Skittles and Starburst and stuff
but
that. But never. Chocolate. I've never had a whatchamacallit or a Snickers.
You never had
or anything.
You never went
like
trick or treating as a kid. Got.
No, well, I'd just throw those out. But the little minis, I don't eat those.
Into this day, a Reese's Twixies peanut butter cup, stuff, a Hershey's
nothing,
bar.
See, now we understand why he's single.
Oh, he gives the chocolate to them. I mean,
yeah.
No sweets for you on Valentine's.
Lori told me about the things that different people value, whether it's low income, middle income, and the wealthy. You remember you told us about that? Can she share that with you?
Yeah, by all means.
Yeah, we were doing some training with Ruby Payne, who is When Helping Hurts, and we were discussing the different classes and what's very important. So if you're looking at lower income class, what's important to them is their people and their possessions. Mm-hmm. And so you look at it like we were, Monkia was talking about, when you lose something that's important, it's abandonment. So in a lower income category, you want your people, and you'll do just about anything to keep them. Mm-hmm. So if you have to give some of your money to help somebody else to be able to pay their rent or to pay their car, this and that, to your own detriment, you're going to do it because you're afraid they're going to leave you. In the middle income class, it is their jobs are the most important to them, what they do. And then in the upper income level, it's their connections, who they know. And so we have to look at it, too, because, you know, we were talking about earlier, and we hear this all the time, too. Well, why are we helping you? You have brand new fingernails. You have the brand new cell phone, this and that. Yeah, but that's sometimes all they have. Their possessions are important to them. And so we have to look at it like what's important to them, as you were just saying, compared to what may be important to us. We might be middle income, higher income, and that might not be important to us, but it's important to them. And I also wanted to say something, too. You know, we're sitting here talking about perceptions of homeless people in this county. Mm-hmm. And really, what you may not know is the highest growing number of homeless in our county is actually children 5 and under. In fact, there are just about 800 school students in the Washington County Public School right now that are classified as homeless, many of which are really couch surfing. Some are literally living in cars and on the streets, and others are living in hotels, but they are considered technically homeless. So it's not just necessarily men and women who just, you know.
I guess the math does work out, right? If you got, if you have like a single mother with two children or something and she's homeless, then you got two children. Yeah. That's why the numbers would skew to the children more than the adults.
We talk about generations and generation gaps and all that. I mean, it's bad now. It's worse now. You know, with 800 homeless kids just in this town, this county alone.
Yes.
That's an average. That's not even the total amount, probably. I mean,
that's what they know. You're exactly right.
It's very saddening. See, I have two kids, and I don't know. I'm motivated when my wife got pregnant with my first kid to go get a real job, you know? Mm-hmm. I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time with people who already have three kids and they got one more in the oven. Right. You know they're not exactly pulling it all together,
and they can't they get stuck in a position where they can't go get a job because if they go get a job then there's nobody to raise the kids.
They're getting $50,000 or $60,000 or more a year on subsidies. How can you go out make minimum wage, what is $9.25 now? It's going to go up to $10 something. Right. You can't make
you can't
that.
Live off of that.
You can't live off of that. So they're actually better off, not long term, but.
All right, wrapping up the Hub Show this episode with Valor Ministries. I want to thank Lori and Steve Riston for coming on and talking with us about what's going on over here in the Hub City. Again, Valor Ministries, 223 North Prospect Street. Suite 403. They're here in Hagerstown. Number is 240-329-9387. And they are on the web at thevalorcenter.org. That's thevalorcenter.org. So this is Jay for Shay, for Chris, for Lori, for Steve. Stay in Hagerstown. Keep your head up.
You've been listening to The Hub Show from Hagerstown, Maryland. Podcasting and broadcasting about everything local you need to know with your host, Jay Heisch.
Hardy Pet is your local neighborhood pet store, serving premium and super premium pet food and supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. Your pets will love their selections from Fromm, Nutrisource, and Nature's Logic, along with American National Premium, Origin, and Akana 2. At Hardy Pet, we offer training courses including 2 and 3 week holiday manners brush-ups. We even offer canine massage to help with joint pain, arthritis, injuries, anxiety, and stress. So come see us at Hardy Pet, 19918 Jefferson Boulevard, right here in Hagerstown. Hardy Pet, where we love your pets, too.